Well, we said it right here in our Dynamite review earlier this week, and it's happened. Christian is the Impact World Champion. We're going to talk about it all in just a second, so stay tuned. This is the Elite Maniac Podcast.
You are now listening to the Elite Maniac Podcast. Remember to subscribe, follow, and leave a 5-star review.
What's up, people? Welcome to the Elite Maniac Podcast, where we discuss all things AEW, and for the first time ever, AEW Rampage. My name is Mex, aka WrestleManiac UK. I'm alongside my co-host, Mike, aka Kings Road Wrestling, and we've got a really fun episode of AEW Rampage to review today. First ever episode. I've got some things to say as normal, but this was a really, really fun show. But before we get into it, guys, please remember to smash the like button, subscribe to the channel if you're new here, and for all our audio listeners, please make sure you subscribe and follow us on your podcast platform of choice and leave us with a 5-star review. Let the people know of the great job that myself and Mike are doing right here at the Elite Maniac Podcast. I know Mike had a few drinks to rein in AEW Rampage. I hope you're all right now. You're feeling good. You ready to talk about this?
Yeah. So he texted me at like 9:30, and I just woke up and I was like, oh my God, I feel terrible. I had a bunch of drinks with some friends, and we watched the premiere together of the world premiere of AEW Rampage. And I had a lot of fun with that quick 1 hour. Like, it just felt like lit up, man. Like, just nonstop.
Yeah, no, definitely good. And with that, with it being 1 hour, it reminded me of NXT of old, where NXT used to be 1 hour, just get in there, get your wrestling in, no fluff, and get out, basically. So yeah, really, really good show. I think when I spoke to some people earlier this morning about it, my comments didn't quite translate, but you know, I'll kind of clean the slate here. I said that the show was basically okay. It wasn't anything special.
Okay.
And I said that off the basis of everything we expected in terms of the matches, the outcomes of the matches that you and me anyway had spoken about happened. Christian won. Miro destroyed Fuego, and we knew that would happen. And Britt Baker would retain. So in terms of a wrestling point of view, everything we knew would happen happened. The wrestling was very good. The matches was very good. And my disappointment, if you like, for Rampage came from the fact that this looked like Dynamite, but called Rampage.
Dude, I was like honestly pretty upset about that as well. I mean, like, I know, like, you know, with the, when something comes out the first time, it's like the world premiere and it's so hyped up, like you tend to just really like enjoy everything and maybe not look at the downsides, but there definitely were some downsides. And that is, I think, one of the biggest points. Like, I was expecting maybe like kind of a different set, maybe just like a different ring, a canvas cover or something like that, just something to set it apart. But now it looks like we have Dynamite, Dark Elevation, and Rampage all using like the same thing. And like, I really want something to differentiate this product, like aesthetically, you know what I mean? Like, I get that 1 hour, like action packed wrestling show, like that definitely sets them apart from Dynamite, but looks wise, that's what you were saying, man. It's just, it's a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah. And my friend Gigi was saying that, you know, Mex, your standards are slipping. I said, no, like, we've come to expect so much from AEW because they always deliver a lot of the time. 9 times out of 10, AEW deliver. So their standards are slipping. They think, because let's be completely honest, as a WWE fan, we would tear them apart if they basically gave us another hour of programming, you know, dressed up as whatever it is. This is Dynamite dressed up as Rampage. Let's be completely honest. Like, this is the third hour of Dynamite. Tony
Which
Khan
is exactly
smart
said
enough.
They didn't want to do.
Exactly. But Tony Khan is smart enough to know that 3 hours of wrestling back to back doesn't work. So he's basically put the third hour on another night, which is absolutely fine. But you have to aesthetically dress it up as its own show because you're calling it something different. You're calling it AEW Rampage. So that is my biggest kind of dispute and thing about it. You know, it just felt like, you know, Dynamite's third hour on another night. And I don't
it felt like, sorry, but it felt like what you were saying. Yeah, it also felt like it was like title match night. Like you have a belt, you want to defend it, put it on Rampage. Like, but like, do you
think
they can't
do that all the time? They can't, they got to run out of, they can't, you know, after the first few weeks, next week, where, you know, we're looking forward to hopefully getting CM Punk. In 2 weeks after that, there's going to have to be new stuff that keep Rampage, you know, the show to watch. And aesthetically, with a new look, that could definitely go a long way to help that. But they haven't gone for a new look, or at least not this week on the week they've premiered it. And yeah, I just find in terms of a show, and that's what I was meant to say, or I didn't communicate that very well.
No,
in terms of a show aspect, I don't think that it was anything special. In terms of the wrestling and everything like that, they always deliver. They always knock it out of the park.
But yeah, in terms of the
show, production-wise, thank you. I was very underwhelmed. Because I just felt like, hold on, we're letting them get away with giving us Dynamite on Friday night and they're calling it Rampage, but nothing looks different. So, yeah.
And I've heard like two things about this, which like I don't really know if they hold any water, but I've heard one, like they don't, this could be complete BS, but I've heard one, they don't want to spend the money on a new set stage because they could be going back to shutdown again, which like, I don't really, as an American, like, you know, I live in the US. I don't really think that's going to happen. And I don't really agree with that. And number two, they said that they have to film for Dark and Elevation on these Friday nights. So they don't want to like have to do a completely new set. But like, come on, like prioritize the TV show over the YouTube shows. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, I don't care if the Dark and Elevation sets change for Rampage. Yeah. Like, man, just give us something different. You know,
The Dark and Elevation could be filmed in a Nightmare Factory for all I care.
I mean, like, why not? Or daily, do it in Daily's place.
Yeah. Like, for all I care, that's not your TV show. Like, the TV show should be the priority. And this is why I'm being very kind of, I might be, you know, called a stickler for this, but like, I want AEW to do well. I want them to succeed. And all I saw yesterday in terms of the presentation of this brand new show that they have hyped up is Dynamite called Rampage. No difference in terms of that. So, yeah, I don't want them to get lazy. I don't want them to get complacent. We've already got a complacent wrestling show on the other nights. We don't need another one. Like, keep up the good work that you've been doing. Produce a new show. If you're saying to people you're going to produce a brand new show, then produce a brand new show. Mm-hmm. Don't just give us, you know, the culmination of feuds and great wrestling, but it looks like your other show, your main show. Mm-hmm. So,
We'll see, like, for sure if this is going to be a thing, I think, next week at the United Center for the first dance, because this is booked as, like, something completely different. It's booked as being something huge. Like, there was multiple references that we'll get into shortly of CM Punk possibly coming. Like, so if it's the same next week, then I think it's going to be the same. But maybe this was just a one-week-off thing, or hopefully they hear some of the criticism from their fans and they do something about it, because this has so much potential, because we'll get into it, I guess, right now. This, like, the wrestling was lit up, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I really don't have much to complain about the wrestling and this commentary team. Like, the combination of that, it was fun, dude.
Like, the commentary team, I know a lot of people say a lot of stuff about Jericho on commentary, generally, even when he's on Dynamite. And Jericho, for me, can do no wrong. Him screaming,
yeah, me either.
Him screaming down the microphone, all kinds of rubbish that he's screaming on commentary, I find it entertaining.
I do too. It's actually funny. And again, I watched with casual fans this week for both shows, and they're like, my friends were kind of laughing at a lot of Jericho comments. Like, they were liking him. It was like kind of some comedic relief to a really, like, it was kind of like an overwhelming show, right? It was just like, no, bam, 100%. Bam, bam.
I mean, so. I think if there's one too much, one person too many in there. I'd say it's maybe Mark Henry. And Mark Henry then was doing more backstage stuff during the night. So why don't they just leave him to do the backstage stuff?
I
this is you after a few drinks saying this. Maybe try watching it, you know, sober and see how you feel. Maybe
so you were no with the Mark Henry.
It's not, he didn't do anything wrong. I just feel like there's too many people in the space, if you see what I mean. So Excalibur and Taz, those are your commentators. Jericho's just there for comedic value, whether you find him as comedic value or not. I personally do. I know a lot of people don't. And I think that's it. And then if you, Mark Henry shouldn't be there, maybe just have him as the interviewer. Even Jericho, maybe just bring him every so often, or have that third man as a rotating person. But yeah, I'm just not too keen on the four man booth. I think,
or maybe have like Mark for the big main event title matches that do maybe happen on Rip. It's actually interesting. I just thought of this. Every single person on the commentary team has wrestling experience.
I saw a post where it showed, I think AEW posted it. I think it's like every single one of them had over 20 years experience.
That's in nuts. Wrestling.
Like they showed like Taz 20 something, someone else had 30 something, someone else had 20 something. Like, yeah, it was crazy. But that's what it should be, I think. But yeah, I mean, we've talked about what Rampage looked like to us and how we felt about it. Like we said, you know, United Center next week is going to be a massive show. But let's get into what actually happened on the show. And the show opened up straight out of the gate with the Impact World Championship match, Christian going after Kenny Omega's championships. What were your thoughts on the match?
Well, for those that don't know, Captain Charisma, Christian Cage, I mean, he like voluntarily basically left WWE like way back, like 15 years ago, because he wasn't getting a main event push. He thought he could. He went to Impact to kind of build himself and prove to himself that he could be a main event player. And he definitely was like, he was like Mr. Impact, basically. He was their champion, the NWA heavyweight champion when it was TNA's belt. And this was like crazy nostalgia seeing him back in the title picture. In terms of this match with Kenny Omega, this was just like really fast paced, like hit after hit after hit. Like it was like kind of hard to follow. Like so much was going on, but like in terms of the in-ring quality of this match, like this was really freaking good. And I feel like Christian kind of shut out a lot of the people that were like, why is he here? Like, can he really do this? Like just pushing an old guy. Like he looked really excellent. I don't know. What were your initial impressions?
I agree. I think Christian looks very, very good. I never doubted. I know I give Christian a lot of stick, but I never doubted that this wasn't going to be a good match at all. And even, you know, we saw hella chops early on to Christian. And then Christian kind of fought his way back in. We saw a frog splash and I can't remember. There was like a spear, that big spear that the Christian spear, gave Kenny Omega. And then, you know, as we kind of came towards the finish and all the shenanigans started taking place and the Young Bucks came in with the chair and the kill switch on the chair, Kenny Omega's sell for that was literally, he smashed his head against that chair.
Bad man.
It's literally like, if I'm going out, then you guys are going to believe I'm going out. And it was obviously, I think, I can't remember the exact number, but it's been 700 something days since he's last lost a singles match. So literally it's like, if I'm going to lose, you guys are going to see the connection of my head on this chair and it's going to be undisputed kind of thing as to why I'm losing this match.
Yeah, for
Christian
sure, dude.
Threw the chair over the top rope and pinned him. And it was a really nice moment. It was a really nice moment.
I wrote down like in my notepad, Kenny head slammed into the chair because all of us saw the impact. That was crazy. Kenny, towards the end of the match, he definitely had the clear advantage, and I was like, oh my god, I think he might retain. He hit like a series of V triggers, some power bombs, and it was looking like he really got it. However, he missed a V trigger, and then like that spear you talked about, Christian hit it And it looked like, wow, this is kind of an even advantage. Young Bucks come to the ring, they're shenanigans. And I was thinking to myself, like, this is how Kenny retains. Like, everyone's been talking about shenanigans from the Elite, but they threw in the chair and it was completely used against Kenny Omega. He got kill switched hard. We've given the kill switch a little bit of slack sometimes for saying, you know, it's not really that great of a finisher, but when it's done on a chair and it's done with that, like, oh man, it was so, he got that. And then afterwards, he when he won the titles, he celebrated backstage with Mark Henry and Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. They were all popping the bubbly. They were just enjoying themselves. And Mark Henry, this is why I was like, oh, this is like really cool that Mark Henry's here. Like, he was just like, he just made me happy. He was like, he looked
so happy. He was so happy.
And they had a great little segment backstage. Killer match. And, what did Christian said that it's hot in Pittsburgh. He says that Kenny is one of the toughest guys he's ever been in the ring with, and that he gives him all the props in the world. But he says that, you know, he understands that it's going to be nearly impossible to win that AEW World Championship, but he's going to get it done. He's going to beat those odds and win it at All Out. And pretty good segment. Orange Cassidy, for some reason, was
hanging around in the back.
I don't really know why he was there, but he was just there. I don't know, man. This is just a feel good moment and a really, really great match that I can't really complain about.
It really is. I mean, I remember we've had discussions on, you know, who's going to be the guy that's going to bring the Impact Championship back to Impact.
It was never Christian.
Yeah, we said Samoa Joe and stuff, but it's on the same premise. Because remember, when we said Samoa Joe, it's because Samoa Joe is an Impact original. Uh-huh. And then obviously he re-signed with WWE and stuff. So, Christian was never mentioned, but they've basically done the same thing in terms of the premise of why it's Christian. Christian gave us this big kind of monologue that, you know, I was at Impact. Impact means the world to me, you know.
TNA. Yeah, gave him his chance.
And, gave him his chance, and that's why he's happy to do it for them. And like I said, by the end of it, all my feelings for Christian kind of went to one side, and I thought, no, this is really nice. Obviously, Omega now still has the AEW championship. I didn't like Christian saying it's going to be impossible to beat Omega for the AEW world title, because you've just beaten him for the Impact world title. So you're basically now saying, okay, yeah, AEW world title's won too far. I can't beat him for it. But then
he's gonna get it done anyway. Like,
it's like, right? You should believe that you should be able to do it, because we just watched you beat him. You see what I mean? So
Well, they were really hyping up that AEW belt, you know. They were like, oh, like, he really held on to that Impact belt. Like, how hard is he gonna hold on to this belt, the most prestigious one? Which I understand, it's their show. But that was a little bit of a weird comment. But in the end, I do really like what they did with this, because it was like Scott D'Amore. He was in Dynamite. That he was the vice president of Impact. Yeah. He was there. It felt like he kind of like brought Christian in and was like, listen, we need you to help us get this championship back from this guy who doesn't care about the brand. He does, but he doesn't care. He's doing all this bad stuff on Impact. Like, we need an original to come back and give it to us. And I think that's what happened. But before we move on, major props to Kenny Omega for his Impact run. I just want to shout that out. It was excellent. He proved everybody wrong who said that he wasn't going to be on Impact tapings. He was, like, every single week, did a lot of great defenses. You know, that Sammy Callahan match really stands out at Slammiversary for me as something really awesome. So really good job, Kenny, but I'm excited for this new era of Captain Charisma.
Yeah, it's very good. And like we discussed, I think, on our Thursday show, the Dynamite review, I think this is just good, because now Christian will go over to Impact, you know, do some work there. We may see him less on Dynamite, and that's going to free up space for some of the younger guys to get some time on TV. Some of the big stars that AEW are bringing in, it's going to free up some time for them. So, this is how a really good example of how to use their roster, sending them and having the ability to work with other companies and sending them to other places has now made space effectively for a couple other acts to kind of get through on Dynamite. So, this was really well done from top to bottom.
Definitely. We also had TNT title match, which was an interesting contest to say the least. It was TNT title was on the line, but also the AEW contract was on the line. So Fuego del Sol versus Miro, the champion. If Fuego won, he got a contract. If he lost, he didn't. And this match kind of like went according to plan. I mean, Fuego was really over with the crowd. They loved him. It was really hot in Pittsburgh for sure. But right off the bat, Fuego hits three tornado DDTs, which is like his move. And if you watch Dark or Elevation, like he really struggled to hit this move. Like he never does. And he just like hits three off the bat. Like that was a great way to get the crowd really, really into this. But Miro after that, afterwards, he was like, screw this. I'm not letting this happen anymore. And he kind of just like knocked his clock off. He thrust kicked him right in the face, like as hard as he could, and then stomped him, got that game over camel clutch lock, and made Fuego tap immediately. So in ring, like this match was okay. It was kind of like a glorified squash match, but you know what happened after was kind of cool. Miro did before the commercial rip up the contract, and then Jericho was like, the chances of Fuego becoming All Elite are now done. But you know, we returned from commercial, and I don't know, what did you think about that little segment?
So are you in agreement with me that this was a total shoot, that Fuego never knew about this?
I don't think so, because he was like crying.
So you think he knew that they were going to do this?
No, I don't think he did know. He was he was really emotional and like,
yeah. So they came back from commercial and he was literally just getting off the mat after being beaten up by Miro with the accolade or the game over. And obviously we saw Sammy Guevara's music hit and he came out with Tony Khan, who handed him a new contract. And Sammy Guevara came down to the ring, obviously being the best friend of Fuego del Sol, saying that, you got a stinking record. Your record is rubbish, but you know, you've really endeared yourself to these fans. Everyone loves you backstage. The boys love you. Everyone sees you really try hard. And Tony Khan has given him an AEW contract. And like I say, it looked like a shoot. It looked like it was, you know, nothing that was planned. Fuego didn't expect this.
No.
And he kind of burst into tears, hugged Sammy, held up his contract and all of that kind of stuff. A really good night, feel-good moment.
This was such a feel-good moment because Fuego was kind of cutting a promo before the match. He's like, this is the most important thing ever to me. Like, I really want to become All Elite. Like, this company's everything to me. And then when Sammy came out, he said something really, really interesting. He said, you lost, but sometimes there's victory in defeat. And definitely the locker room loves him. The fans love him. And this just was a no-brainer. And, you know, I think this was just perfect to do for the show. Like, we get a great match first off. Then we get like a squash match. Everyone feels bad. But like, yeah, it was like everybody wanted this, man. So give it to the fans. It was like hit. And then we got to this crazy this main event with Britt. It was just, I don't know. I really like this order of how they booked everything for the show.
No, I 100% agree. It was done really well. This particular angle, like, it's just like you said, sometimes there's feel good bits, and you know, he was never going to beat Miro, but he still got what he wanted in the end and lives to fight another day. So yeah,
for sure. We moved on from that to a little bit of a Sting and Darby promo. Not really. They were just watching from the rafters, which is like old school Sting, WCW, like watching up there. Pretty cool. Then we had Mark Henry kind of do a little bit of an interview for the main event, which was Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, defending her women's title against Red Velvet in her hometown crowd. And apparently there was some grudge between them because Red Velvet was hit with a cane by Rebel. Britt got attacked by Red Velvet on Dynamite this week. So a little bit of a feud and interesting build up to, you know, what was the main event. Before we get into the main event, how did you think putting, you know, the women's title on the main event went? Was that the proper decision? Should it have been Kenny? Or what did you think about this decision to really spotlight the women's division?
I think it was there because it was Britt Baker and this was Pittsburgh. I think that's why they went for that. Not to say any other woman doesn't deserve it. I just feel like the stars aligned And obviously this is someone that we're watching that is wrestling injured. Britt Baker's not well enough to be in the ring, but they've advertised a match in Pittsburgh, her hometown, and she ain't gonna miss it. So no.
Yeah. Her and Chelsea Green, like, I think they're really good friends. They're both wrestling with like broken wrists right now. Which is interesting. But Britt was not missing this shit. It was her city. She came out to a crazy reception, like people going nuts for her. They all had those terrible towels, the yellow. Britt was in like Steelers colors and kind of had the football team logo. They just absolutely loved her, man. They were lit up to see DMD, a really great star building thing that they did with her. And you know, the match, it was pretty solid. It seemed like, in my opinion, Britt was a little bit smoother working with Red Velvet than her last title defense against Nyla. Like, it was kind of blocky.
It might be a size thing. It might just be because, you know, they're similar sizes or closer in size.
Well, even like the Sheeta match, I felt like was kind of, at Double or Nothing, was kind of not as smooth as this. They just worked well together, really. So props to Red Velvet. And Red Velvet, you know, it wasn't a squash at all. She put in some work. She hit, you know, leg lariats, standing moonsault presses. She was really working the arm of Britt Baker, working the shoulder, really taking her down. And Red Velvet at certain times of the match had, you know, the advantage over Britt Baker. And we returned from commercial break, and it really got competitive. Red Velvet was, you know, hitting her hard with these body blows, trying to pin her with a crucifix, putting in an arm bar. So definitely a competitive matchup. Before we got towards like the end, I think it was like 10:58, 10:57, like 2-3 minutes left. And no one, you know, had the clear advantage. So it really came down to the wire.
Yeah. I think, Red Velvet needs some more props. And definitely just, you know, she's an underrated wrestler. And I thought it was very harsh. I know obviously Pittsburgh was behind Britt Baker, but it was a bit like a mind mess, because Red Velvet was the face being booed the hell out of there. Mm-hmm. You know, I won't jump to the end because there was something else I wanted to say. But the performance was very good. Then we saw Britt Baker struggle to get the lockjaw done with her injured hand. And I thought it was really smart how she turned over, used the other hand, and put Red Velvet in the lockjaw and won the match, retained the title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely Red Velvet tried to get in that lockjaw, wasn't successful. Britt got a neck breaker in and that beautiful curb stomp that she does, and then rolled into her own lockjaw, put it in, and Red Velvet was forced to tap. So Britt Baker, ladies and gentlemen, has retained the women's championship, in her hometown of Pittsburgh. Crowd went wild for it. I'm happy for Britt. I think this is what she needed, was just a solid competitor that could go in the ring with her and that they could have a great match and, you know, build up a little bit of a feud and just kind of establish like a really good defense. That obviously wasn't all that happened. Towards the end of the match, I guess, you know, which definitely this whole like mind game thing was weird, because Britt Baker attacked Red Velvet with a hangman's neck breaker, or I forgot what it was, something after the bell. Britt Baker attacked, and the crowd was like cheering for it. They were like, yeah, like, I was like, okay.
Very weird.
Definitely very, very weird. Chris Statlander came to the ring though to try to defend Red Velvet, which like is another potential matchup that we could have, which I am definitely looking to see. But then we had someone from your neck of the woods come and break this up and align herself with Britt Baker.
So Jamie Hayter came through, and I know a lot of people are probably thinking who, because I felt like the crowd was thinking like, who the hell is this?
Uh-huh.
She an looks OG. Different. She looks jacked. Yeah, she is AEW. She has been here before. But obviously we didn't see her for a long period until now. And for me, we know that Britt Baker said that she wants more firepower and stuff like that, kind of to join her ranks with Reba. When Reba was kicked out of this match, for me, that is when Jamie Hayter should have came.
Okay.
I feel like this whole attack that happened after the bell was a bit like, huh? Like, the match is won. Like,
it was weird.
Yeah, so it's like, why is this happening now? Statlander got involved. Statlander got dealt with. Hayter and Britt Baker, you know, kind of, like you said, made the alliance. But I just feel like, why didn't this happen during the match? Because the whole thing, the whole story being told by Red Velvet is that Britt Baker cheats to win. So why did the cheating happen after the bell?
When she won clean, really.
Yeah, really and truly. There was interference by Reba, but she won clean. And then the cheating and the beating up and stuff happened. I think I'm happy to see Hayter back anyway.
Me too. And I feel bad because when she came on, like, she definitely had this new look. And I was like, wait, who is this again? Like, I know who she is. Like, I'm a fan of Japanese wrestling as well. And she's been over there as well.
And that's I thought she was going to return to stardom. But
yeah, she's friends with Bea Priestley. So then I was like, oh, okay, now I remember. But you don't have the same look that you did. Which is kind of, I don't know, maybe they could have like played like a Titantron thing, like Jamie Hayter. Like, they just didn't say like who it was. And then even the commentary team were like, wait, what? Who's this? But the show went out after that. And dude, that was just like an hour. It was a lot in an hour, right? It was I'm not gonna say it felt rushed. It didn't feel rushed. It was just pretty packed in.
Yeah, they've done a really good job, and the show was really good. How we are going to get the debut of CM Punk next week, I just don't know. I'm trying to kind of not book it in my head and just, you know, wait for it organically to happen. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure this week anyway, we'll see what's on that Rampage show in terms of matches. And, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see how they treat Rampage after these first few boom weeks of, you know, when the hype is here. Once the hype dies down, we'll see, you know, what people are really thinking of.
Really thinking Rampage about this, yeah.
But yeah, I like you, we said at the top of the show, really good wrestling show, like you said, very compact in terms of 1 hour, great wrestling, back to back to back. Just please do something with the presentation of Rampage. Let's feel like we're watching a different show and not just a show that's taped after Dynamite or whatever the case is.
Yeah,
don't pull the wool over our eyes. Don't give us the third hour of Dynamite on a Friday night. Give us AEW Rampage.
Yeah, because Friday night, man, like, that's not that convenient for a lot of us, really. It's not like 10 p.m. on a Friday night, like, people are doing stuff. So it's got to be something like really different to draw everybody in, you know, or people aren't gonna want to, you know, really like not go out, not go to dinner, like, kind of, they're not going to want to like give that up for something that's really they could just watch on a Saturday. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's their real task here. That's their real, real task here. How can we make people tune in at 10 p.m. on a Friday night? And that's for you guys. You know, same way, I'm going to watch it the next day. I'm not going to stay up to watch it. It doesn't really matter.
3 in the morning.
Yeah, like some people did. I know a lot of people did in England last night. They stayed up to watch it. But that may be because it's the first ever episode. Will they do that next week and the week after that?
You don't know.
And this is where, like I say, this is where their task comes. What is going to make everyone really tune in? You know, whether it's 10 p.m. in the US or 3 a.m. in the UK, what are we going to do week in, week out to make people tune in live? So, yeah, it was a good show. Great start. Long may it continue. Hopefully we get some new presentation around it. And then, yeah, I think we've really got a good show on our hands.
Definitely. I'm excited to see next week. And, yeah, everyone, we didn't do questions today, trying to keep this, kind of just as action packed as Rampage, just bringing you the coverage, quick and easy.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. But I hope you guys enjoyed our analysis of this, unique show, and, we're going to keep doing this. And yeah, next week it's going to be a big week.
Yeah. Next week is gonna be crazy. Dynamite, Rampage, looking forward to it already. But yeah, guys, you know the drill. Please remember to smash the like button. If you're new here, subscribe to the channel, and if you're listening through the audio, Please make sure you subscribe or follow us on your podcast platform of choice. Leave us with a 5-star review. Let the people know the great job that myself and Mike are doing right here at the Elite Maniac Podcast. To get more of Mike, you can follow him on his Instagram, Kings Road Wrestling, road to 10,000 followers. Guys, we need to be pushing the button on Mike's page. Follow, follow, follow. And to get more of myself, you can catch me on Instagram as well, WrestleManiac.uk. Any last words before we get out of here, Mike?
Oh, I'm excited to get to 10K and keep bringing you guys content. And thank you for everything. Thank you so much, everybody, for just giving me this opportunity. I really feel blessed, and we're having a lot of fun here.
Likewise, really enjoying it. And we wouldn't have anything. We wouldn't have a show without you guys. So yeah, fully appreciate it. But we'll get out of here, leave you guys to enjoy the rest of your weekend. We will be back on Thursday, Dynamite review. Hope you can tune in with us, and we'll see you in that episode. See you guys later.
Remember to subscribe, follow, and leave a 5-star review.